And I'd like next to introduce Joe Donahue. Joe, I had the pleasure of reading with in February with the Desert City Poetry Series that Ken Rumble runs. And Joe has lived in Seattle and New York City, and now he's moved to Durham, North Carolina. And Joe is, I think, one of the finest poets writing in America today. His book, Incidental Clips, which is available in the back, is just an amazing work, and I think we're only just beginning to see what Joe can do with poetry, and so I'd love to have you give a warm round of applause for Joe Donahue. Joe.
Thank you. I'd like to read three poems. The first is called Occult Blood. The clock's a palm-sized skull with a tiny hinge. Split the dome wide. Skeleton arms guide the eye to the hour. Revelers walk through a hurricane dialed down to a tropical storm. Only last Thursday did I disintoxicate myself of a lifelong misperception. Chlorophyll drips from the leaves. I prefer not to say the year is dying, only the green deceived me. In the evening, attention will rest on the newfound cracks in the chimney and the escape route of smoke through the sky, that alchemical woodcut of a man, his abdomen peeling back, his entrails a galactic swirling. Latitude is little more than a glance at the stars, but to know where, crossing an ocean in an old ship, you really are, pitched the TV auction man with a chronometer, you need to know the time. I prefer not to say the numbers slip my mind, only the calculation in torrents sweeps away half the coast. Occult blood, blood where it should not be, like an eerie light in a forest, like a tape of birdsong in the tunnel made up like a grotto that leads to the admission desk of a clinic. Sunset soaks the altar of the horizon. Not the air trembles with the dread of the lamb, only the air fills with notes from a horn. Occult blood, hidden blood. Forget that far-off tropical retreat where Hitlerati and proto-environmentalist Charles Lindbergh, slowly fading, frets about the gutters on his tomb. In the end, all will be a party, a sugar skull on the Day of the Dead, and a woman by a wall in a wild, red, low-cut dress, and a man, his tinfoil hat shaped like a ferry boat. Thank you. The second poem is called A Parish in the North, and I was very lucky to get the cooperation of the town of Carrboro to pump up the air conditioning so that we can get this kind of New England chill, so that this kind of poem is set. That's where this North is, and this is kind of answers the musical question, why should I never live in New England? A Parish in the North. A girl with the gift of blood kneels at a gathering. The ghost speaks through her. Later in the woods, a schoolboy awakes. The streams have turned arterial. The trees are made of flesh. On Star Avenue, a holy metal lies hot to the touch beside the corpse. On Fairview Street, day drains into low hills. Perils are great now. Powers are great now. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be the light around me. On Mansour Street, the night airs all voltage, an invisible burning spilling from limb to chest. Panic whispers, if this fire reaches your head, you're dead. While across the room, the TV preacher faces the camera and says, I see a woman who is very upset in a chair, in the cold, in an old shawl from someone who has died. In Europe, observatories report a dark light hidden behind distant stars. Since time began, that light was there, they say, a black radiance reaching earth only now, light of the hour, let all be nothing. Vandals remove the head of the crucified on the cross, on the promontory, by the waterfall. Thieves lift the hands. The once lit immigrant church goes dark. No one guards the grounds. The diocese can't afford repairs. The roof's a hazard. In the end, marble is torn from the altar, desanctified and sold. Wrecking ball, the high dome topples into itself. I wake up and someone's there in the dark. I'm irritated and afraid. In fact, I'm shaking. And then I know who, and I say, Anne, what do you want? And she says, I know that I'm dead, but fear still torments me, mostly about my kids. Could you please, please look after them? Memorial auditorium rented out, Pentecostal Catholics in a light snow. Their guest, a girl, arrives and enters, touring from Venezuela, telling how the wounds of Christ opened the depth of her flesh to the world. At a lull in the fervor, pleas are written on scraps of paper, folded, sent forward. They are petals gathered into baskets, which the girl with the gift of blood accepts. She pours them into altar bins. Banners glow in a ring around her. The names of the sick are read out loud. Devastations come to mind. A niece, say, dead for days, folded up on the bathroom floor while her junkie boyfriend is out cashing her checks. The stigmata lifts a rose into the air as if from the gash in her side. Circulars, emails, flyers, faxes, newsletters, video cam, internet files, the sun spinning in the sky or dipping down, quips from children who speak to the Virgin, hills of Eastern Europe whispered about in the backs of churches in Chicago, by a rack of prayer cards, in online chat rooms dedicated to the dark time, or in Korea over discount long distance. Perils are great now. Powers are great now. The ecstasies are erratic, but their telling is continual. One line only in the blur of God's book could I really read. Not even one line, just a part of a line, the part ordering me to sing. Hints and symbols die out. All's actual now. Image and cadence from archaic accounts can be dropped. Let autopsies open the chambers of our hearts. Let men of science find in our nerves the likeness of pillar and scourge. A boy presses his cheek to a stone bench, crows on snow lift into reddening sky. In Africa and Kansas and Taiwan, the same dreams have been recounted. These dreams may be the last ever to settle into an unraptured skull. I was standing in front of my old house by the wheelchair ramp installed for my father. It was night, helicopters overhead, gunfire, sound of explosions. This was foretold elsewhere. This is happening here and now, a pietà on the porch, a trembling in the night sky, as seen in Venezuela last week, blue and green around the moon, and late at night, in an empty church, a secret adoration, a woman at the feet of Jesus, his suffering heart crowned with briars visible amid petals of gold fire. Broken before the unbroken icon, she requests assistance for her son. It's some misfortune, could be medical. In less than a whisper, the reply, to enter my heart, you must pass through the thorns. So now you can all say you've had a vacation in Massachusetts. The last poem I'm going to read is called Where Every Hollow Holds a Hallow. I sleep in a tree. At night, the tree flies to a beach where the pebbles are gems. Thunderclap, the moon in bits, an office, a chair in front of a desk, but there's a hitch in the interview. Your advocates, it seems, are Nazis. Nervousina, in the well of a pillow, who now whispers my name? The sun's a dirty sponge, the earth a bucket, a billing fiasco looms. Meanwhile, on a red field, wet light glows. Long ago, we drew the shades at lunch. We ate pound cake from the freezer. Dad sipped vodka as we sat in the dark playing comedy albums. An escapee lurks by the school, everywhere choppers and cops. But for the kids, the lockdown is a weird carnival on an autumn night so Egyptian it's a dry run for the angel of death. The doorway of the trees seems brushed with blood. Help me, my mouth's out of whack. Lies leap out. A white mist hides the lake. The air glows. A red spine shoots through a leaf. The flame of all that will fall. I sleep in a barrel. At night, the barrel flies to a mountain. The cliffs are sapphire. Where the Hesperus went up in flames, the former landlord of Charles Olson offers me planks from the very room where Maximus was written. The mesh of the... True fact. The mesh of the fence blurs, the hog wallow by the reef, the hills blow sideways, lakes hang in the sky, trees lean over the shade in a sun toward which opens rare blossoms of thought. Herons are the color of water, our ghosts floating inside a rainbow. Crowded room, we spoke then as if in bed, marveling. White along back roads, the new law ruins all. I want to bury my head in the hood of my car. Then a college dean collared me, crowed to all under the class reunion tent. Meet the one among you renowned for classes missed due to venereal misadventure. Not true. I sleep in a gazebo. At night, the gazebo flies to a desert. The spiders are feldspar. Sky-wide camera flash. Let our eyes open, or else the sun become an estate that will not survive the survivors, and all light is lost in an Iliad of attorneys. God loves the prairies, revivals roll west. We could argue we are now air, but the wind on our skin says no. We could reveal a silversmith in the 1840s rebuilt the Temple of Solomon in secret as a cider mill on a hill. We could be lying helpless, scenes of glory passing before our eyes. Historians call these hills the fire zone. We could dream the earth is a greasy aluminum pan, the ocean tied down with garbage bags, green and seething, beach a gulag of mud, couples in the mud, limbs streaked with mud, children playing with mud, bathers with towels crossing the mud down to the plastic-covered sea. While I was away, who lived? While I flew deep, who defamed me? While I soaked light, hung fire in heaven, while I opened the archive of what is, who paid for these alterations? Who signed this card, had my spasms? While I felt what perfection was like, while I walked with Tobias, who changed the locks? While the throne shone, while ancestors kissed me, what polar cold swept down? While the undulations broke wild, who reviewed my past scandals? While the whirlwind held me, who broke my bones? Who underbid me? Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I'm going to steal some of your phrases, like, may men of science find a likeness of, steal a likeness of pillar and scourge and venereal misadventure. I don't think I could steal your gift, though, so steal away, I guess.